Acts chapter 26 tonight, if you have your Bible. Acts chapter 26 tonight, if you have your place, stand on to read God's Word. I'd like to read this whole chapter, but I'm not going to for the sake of time. I'm just going to read a few verses in here and kind of give you what God's give us, starting at verse 22. Paul's a speaking here, and he's a speaking to King Agrippa, and he's proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I won't say there's nothing like the gospel, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 22, he says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I want to preach just a little while tonight, if God will be my help, on this thought. A little peculiar. Amen? A little peculiar. As we see this, and Paul was preaching there to Festus and Beatrice and King Agrippa, and he was magnifying the Lord God of glory, and he was uplifting God. He was magnifying the God of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, this thing that I've had from the beginning, having said in verse 22, said, have therefore obtained help from God. He said, I didn't just start this journey by myself. He said, but I started it with God. He said, there was a day when God come upon me, and he began to overshadow me, and a light shone from heaven, amen, and illuminated me. And he said, I began to see things in a totally different way. I began to see stuff that I'd never seen before. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to see stuff that I've never seen before. And I'm kind of liking it, amen. I'm seeing Lord Jesus Christ and him high and lifted up. I'm seeing the Lord God of glory with help for his people. Amen. When the world seems dismal and desolate, praise God, I'm glad that we've still got a God that loves us and cares for us. And he is that present help, amen, that we need. And we see Paul as he brings it down even to the prophets and to Moses, the things that should come. And that thing that should come was Lord none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stood with boldness and proclaimed the suffering that he'd be the first to rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people. Now he's talking about the Jew there. He said, and then to the Gentile. Amen. Pray, ain't you glad God made a way for us to get in? He didn't just hang us out there and leave us to die in our sin, praise God, but he came to us. And Bible says here in verse 24, and he said, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice. Now can you just see this? Paul's speaking to Agrippa. They're an amphitheater. Now, I've been at Caesarea by the sea, and it's a great amphitheater, and it's got a stadium, a coliseum here with all these pews, and they've got a box that was set aside right in the middle up front where the king and the potentate would sit. And I can just see this as the Bible says this, they came in with pomp. They came in with a big a round of applause for King Agrippa and Beatrice and Festus, and they come down there, and they sat down, and they get ready, and Paul begins to speak. And as he begins to speak, oh, Festus gets so caught up in it. Amen. He said, he gets caught up in the peculiar person of Paul. They say that he was kind of a gross looking little fella. He had lots of infirmities. He wasn't nothing to look at, but praise God, he had the power of God all over him. Amen. I won't say, praise God, it don't matter what you look like tonight, praise God, what we need is the power of God all over us. Amen. Glory be to God that we might just magnify his blessed name. And Festus says with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. He said, much learning has made you mad. Amen. He said, you've lost your mind. He said, you've studied so much, you've thought so much, praise God, that you've done went crazy. Amen. So what old Paul did? Now, that amphitheater, like I was saying, Paul was down here, they're up here. He's out here, and to his back is the Mediterranean Sea. And Brother Jeff, you can stand there in that amphitheater way out there in the middle of that thing, and you can talk in a normal voice, and it sounds like you're on an intercom. That water behind you, it magnifies your voice. When we was over there with Brother Jimmy Dykes and Miss Tracy, and some of them can talk her into going out there and singing. And my, what a blessing that was. Glory be to God. She got out there and just began to sing, glory to God, and it began to echo through that place. Glory to God. It was almost like the angels of glory was a-singing. Amen. So you can see the picture here. Paul's there. He's talking to Festus. He's talking to Agrippa. And he said, listen. He said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. Amen. But speak forth the words of truth and soberness. He said, praise God. He said, I'm just giving you a little bit of truth with a little bit of reasoning. Amen. Praise God. He said, I'm just trying to show you what God wants you to have. Amen. Glory be to God. How did Paul do that? Because he was just a little bit peculiar. Amen. I want to say, praise God, tonight we need to be just a little bit peculiar. I've never seen a time when people want to fit in. Everybody you talk to, they're trying to fit in this world. Praise God. Hey, listen, I don't care if I fit in. I'd rather not fit in. You say, well, preacher, what about our children? They need to fit in. If there's ever been a time our children don't need to fit in, it's right now. Our youngest, praise God, we don't need to fit in down at the workplace. Children don't need to fit in down at the school. Praise God, we need to be peculiar. We need to be a peculiar people. Now, I want to just look for just a few minutes. I want to give you about three things of why we don't act a little bit peculiar, why we don't have what Paul had. See, Paul had staying power. Amen? He had the power to get in there, praise God, and to stay in there. He had power to be, hey, praise God, be bold in the face of adversaries. Amen? He didn't matter who he was with. He didn't matter what he was doing, praise God. He had boldness in the Lord. Why? Because he was a little bit peculiar. And being a little bit peculiar, Brother Jeff didn't bother him a bit. If we ain't but careful, we'll go to be a little bit peculiar. We'll try to, you know, stand up for the Lord. And the first time somebody looks at us to see, God, see, while we're acting so strange, praise God, we'll sit back down. Amen. You know I'm right. But why don't we have it? Paul said, told the Ephesians 5:18, he said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now this is God's commandment. God commanded this. He didn't suggest it. He said, don't be drunk with wine. You know what he was saying? He said, forget about the worldliness. Amen. He said, put that mess behind you, praise God, and just seek a place where the Spirit of God is. Amen. So get rid of the worldliness, praise God. So you say, well, preacher, how can we do that? We've got to get rid of it. We've got to put it aside because if without that, there's no room for the Spirit of God to work. Praise God. If there's ever been a time that we need to open our hearts for the Spirit of God to work, it's in the time we live right now. We look around us, it seems like these adverse things going on every hand. Discouraging thing. I preached on that Sunday morning. You ought to have been here. If you want, you ought to get you there. Praise God. And I meant to say this. Paul, in just a matter of a couple days, did you notice how many times he went from encouragement to discouragement? I mean, just like a roller coaster. But you know what? God's graciousness, we don't have to go through that like that. Amen. Most of the time we kind of run even a kill up in here. Every now and then, Brother X, we'll take a dip down, maybe take two dips down, but praise God, usually we run kind of right in here. But can you just imagine just in a couple of days, praise God, from encouragement to discouragement. I mean, Paul was just like a roller coaster, but you know what happened when that done that? Hey, praise God, he was a little bit peculiar. He didn't abandon ship, praise God. He just got a hold of that thing, glory to God, for the cause of Christ, and he just held on for dear life. Amen. That's what we got to do. Got to be just a little bit peculiar. But why can't we be? Why don't people see in us? Why don't people see that peculiarity in our life? That we're just a little peculiar. Number one is because of insincerity. We're not really sincere in what we're doing. Are we really? You know, think about it. Are we really sincere in our relationships to the people we know? Amen? Are we really sincere when we say, you know what? Boy, I'd like to see them saved. Are we really sincere? See, we're insincere. We're not really sincere, praise God, about what we even claim that we want. Amen? We're not sincere about it. We don't really care. How much time do you spend on your face saying, oh God, please save them? Amen? How many times have you missed a meal because you know that they're lost? How many of you believe this thing's just about over? Jesus come back any day? Well, what's going to happen to all our loved ones that's lost? Amen? And you know what? They look at our lives and they see that we're insincere. They see whether or not we're sincere. They know, Mama, whether you're sincere. They know, Daddy, whether you're sincere. They know where we're at. If there's anybody that knows it, our people around us know where we're at. They know our insincerity. Amen? They know our frivolousness. Amen? Well, they know how little it's really worth. Amen? How much we really want to get in. How much we really want them to get in. Amen? And the effort that we put forth, it's very little. It's just frivolous. It's just a tiny bit. It's not worth anything. Oh, you say, well, preacher, a little prayer is better than nothing. Not if it's not going through the roof. Amen? Not if we're not ringing those prayers. And we got to have sincerity in our prayer. We got to have sincerity in our prayer. Pray God to get through. Amen? If not, it's just frivolous prayers. We're just that tinkling cymbal. It's ringing out, but it ain't. Amen? It's not making a distinct sound. Amen? It's not worth it. It's not going to get the job done. But praise God, what we need, praise God, is to get a hold of God on behalf of all those. Amen? What we need to be is a little peculiar. Amen? It needs to be a little peculiarity about us. Insincerity and frivolousness. Not only that, the pridefulness. That's why we have that. Because of pridefulness. You know, if we ain't very careful, you know, it's me and my three, praise God, and everything's good. Amen. You better be careful because it may not be you and your three. It may just be those two, praise God, without you. Amen. But why? Because, hey, man, we need to be peculiar. And we can't get up our thinking, heat and high and mighty, and say, I'm all that. Praise God, I'm ready to go. And without any desire to see others going too. Amen. Praise God, it ought to burden our heart for the lost. Praise God, it ought to burden our heart for those that's going in the wrong direction. It ought to burden our heart, praise God, to see salvation of souls. I was talking to a preacher the other day. He said, preacher, said, it'd been a kind of a dry spell at the church. He said it went 3 years without seeing a soul saved. I saw my brother. That's sad. I'd like to see one saved every Sunday. Amen. But said we went 3 years, but praise God, he said, Sunday for life. Said, God, one, get in, praise God. Amen. Said it was an older person, about 72 years old. Praise God, come and said he'd come for a few times, and then he sat back there and he began to shake and he began to cry and he come out of there, praise God, fell in an old fashioned altar and got right with God. Amen. I said, well, glory be to God, brother. Didn't that make 3 years worthwhile? Glory. Why? He said, hey, because he was sincere. He said, we prayed and prayed and God had saved somebody. Amen. Praise God. It wasn't frivolous prayers. Those are just tinkling around, praise God. But he said it was something that would get a hold of God. He got rid of the pride, amen. Got rid of that pridefulness and said, oh God, we need salvation. Amen. And God began to move. When we get rid of that pridefulness, we'll get rid of that worldliness. Amen. But that's what makes us peculiar. When we get rid of the worldliness, we realize, praise God, that we don't really need that. We don't need to have that love for property and things, praise God, like we tend to have. Amen. We live in a world, I want. We want everything. Amen. And then we puff up at God if we don't get everything we want. Amen. 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 That's me. Hey, praise God, Lord, I'd like to have that. Amen. He said, you don't need that. Amen. He said, say he'd supply you all. Praise God, brother. He said, I'd supply your needs. He said, I'd not see the righteous forsaken, or see the begging bread. Amen. That's a promise of God. Praise God. You can hold him to that, glory to God. Amen. And he will supply those needs according to the treasured heaven, praise God. And according to his tender mercy, praise the Lord. He supplies all those needs. So we see when God begins to move, why can't we have that? Why can't we be peculiar like Paul? Because we're not ready, we're not willing, praise God, to be sincere with God. We're not ready to get a hold of him, praise God, within reality. We're not ready, praise God, to get rid of our pride. And we're not ready to get rid of our worldliness. We want to hold on to everything just as hard as we can. Amen. But Paul said here, hey, listen, the reason Paul was peculiar, praise God, he didn't hold on to nothing. Amen. Paul lived wherever they locked him up at. Amen. Praise God. He lived wherever they locked him up, wherever somebody would supply him some food. Praise God. He just counted on the Lord. Trust in God. Amen. So how do you say, well, preacher, how do we be more like Paul? How do we be peculiar? By being sincere, by being getting a hold of God, by being bold. Amen. By not neglecting our known duties. You know, God, there's some known duties that God gives us, praise God. And if we neglect those duties, praise the Lord, we can't have that Paul had. We can't be peculiar. We can't be led of the Spirit, praise God, when we neglect those known duties. Let me give you an example. Brother David, if God lays on your heart, he said, Brother David, what I want you to do, I want you to get that family together at night, and I want you to pray with them. Amen. I want you to pray with them every night. Amen. And I hope you do. And David said, well, you know, Lord, I'll pray with them when I get a change, but boy, there's a good program coming on Tuesday, and then Thursday, there's something else I got to do, and then Friday, you know, Lord, how busy I am. Amen? So what we do, we get out of the will of God, and we get to being disobedient to God. Amen? Those known things that we know that we should do, but we don't do. So then what happens is we're in disobedience to God. And then we wonder why God don't bless us. Amen? We wonder why we can't get a prayer. We wonder why it seems like the Holy Spirit is just gone. You ever feel like the Spirit of God just departed? Amen. That's why, because we get into a state of disobedience. And we get in a state of disobedience, God can't bless us. Amen. Till we get it right. Amen. So what do we got to do? We lose the Spirit of God. We lose the power of God until we yield to God. What we have to do is we have to come yielding to God, yielding to His Word. Amen. Because what happens is when you do it, Brother Dave, when you disobey God, then you are in a disagreement with God. Hey, now follow me. You take up a stance of disagreement with God. Now you know that God knows what's best. Amen. God knows what's best for us all the time. And if He's answered your heart, praise God, to do something, and you don't do that, then you're in a disagreement with God. And so what you have to do, Brother David, is you have to yield to God. See, God ain't going to change His mind about it. Amen? Because God spoke that. He intended that because He knew that was going to be good. That was going to be a good thing for your family. So God's not going to change His mind. You have to yield to Him. So what you know what you got to do? You have to be the one to make the change. Sometimes I think we get an attitude that, you know what, I don't want to do it, God. It'll be okay. I want to say God remembers. Amen. God remembers where we're disobedient, praise God, and we can't have that spiritual relationship with Him, amen, till we fall in line of obedience to Him from our disobedience. Amen. Till we get lined back up. And then God can begin to bless us again. But He ain't going to bless us in disobedience. Hello? Amen. We got to line back up. So you've got to yield to God. You've got to change the way we live, change our attitude, change our thinking. Amen. To the thinking and the mindset of God. Amen. So what happened? So you got to, but then what you'll have to do is you'll have to recall what God wanted you to do. I won't say this. I guarantee you, if the Spirit of God seems like it's left you, if you'll think and you'll pray and you'll think on, meditate on, you'll remember where it left. It'll come to your mind, praise God, where you was disobedient to God somewhere. Amen. And what we have to do, we have to go back there, praise God, and we have to repent and ask God to forgive us of that, so that our joy can be restored, so that the Spirit of God can begin to move upon us again, so we can begin to see that relationship and that leadership of the God of glory. Amen? That make you sense? Are you with me? Amen? So we see God, if we're going to be a peculiar people, praise God, we got to start acting peculiar. Amen? Praise the Lord. We started lining up with Him, praise God, and remembered that we, in order to receive that Spirit, that place of joy, glory to God, we got to be obedient to God. He expects that. And then what we have to do is have a desire for the joy of the Spirit. Amen? What Paul was telling the Ephesians, praise God, he said not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. Praise the Lord. He said that joy that comes, glory to God, from knowing that you're where you need to be. There's nothing like that. Hey, you remember times that you wandered away from God? And how good it was when you got back. You fell on your face and said, oh God, I'm sorry, would you forgive me? And boy, He does, puts them big old loving arms around you, pulls you unto Himself, say, boy, I love you. Thank you for coming back to me. Amen. We have to desire that Spirit of God. Amen. We have to pray earnestly, expecting God to move, expecting, looking to that joy to be restored. Amen. And it comes when we pray earnestly, getting that stuff out of the way. Amen. Making things right with God. And then that cut, when we pray earnestly, we receive that Spirit of revival. Amen. Praise God. That Spirit, you say, well, preacher, you got to have a revival for that. Yeah, in the depths of your soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. It has to, hey, any kind of revival you have, praise God, it has to start with you. Amen. And when we come before God as individual, glory be to God, and we repent, we go to Him, amen, where we've left Him, praise God, and we say, Lord God, I'm sorry, would you help me? And praise God, and you get up and you go forward for Him from that day on, praise God, that's revival. Amen. You start acting peculiar. Start acting a little bit peculiar. People start looking at you funny. They start saying to people, what's the matter with him? Huh? Say, I don't know. He goes up there to the Stony Fork. That whole bunch up there is peculiar. Amen. You ought to see that. You ought to see that preacher. Yeah. Gets up there and spits and slobbers and talks about the love of God and how we got to be obedient to Him, amen, and follow Him, praise God, so He can bless us and love on us and give us all those things and He wants to pour out on purpose. Amen. Praise the Lord, because He can. Amen. So we see that Spirit of revival. We long after, we desire that Spirit. Don't you desire Spirit of revival? Amen. Glory to God. What a Spirit. What that's what we gotta have. Amen. But the question is, will we see it when it comes? In other words, do we really want it? Huh? I was here the other day when I mentioned that. I mentioned the Lord had been laid on my heart, laid on a man, laid on a time when we'd have a revival. And I looked back through the audience, and you know what? I could see people's faces. And I could, it was just like it was a big old fog back there that says, oh my goodness, I ain't got time for that. Huh? Amen. Say, oh me. Amen. Well, that's going to mess up my plans. Huh? Yeah, oh me. Amen. That preachers have plans too sometimes. Amen. I don't make them much, oh, cause I don't ever get I'm afraid the devil will interfere. I got told my wife, I don't tell him what I'm going to do no more. Me and her used to take about one Friday night a month, we'd sneak off and go get a bite to eat and go out or something. But I told her, I said, I ain't doing that no more. I said, I will do it, but I'm not going to tell you when. Because it seemed like every time I'd tell her, say, well, Friday night, we're going to go out and get us a bite, just have us a good time, me and you. And it was just like the devil would hear that, and he would attack one of you and attack our people. Amen. And they'd call me up about 4:30, 5 o'clock, said, preacher, you need to come. I'm in the hospital. Hey, one Friday night, we went and we got two phone calls. We went to one, prayed, and God made sure they was okay. Went and sat down to eat, had just sat down at the restaurant, got another phone call, said, "Preacher, I'm in the hospital." Amen. And we'd done order. I said, "Honey, well, what you gonna do?" I said, "Let's eat right quick and we'll head back that way." Amen. Praise God. But if we ain't careful, praise God, we're too busy for God. Amen. We don't have enough time to come worship God. We don't have enough time for the spirit of revival, praise God, to set in. Amen. We don't have enough time, praise God, to see God, to want to see God move, even to saving the soul. We're too busy for God. God help us not to be too busy. Amen. We got so much. So I know we all got so much to do. Everybody's got a lot to do. We're a busy people. I wonder if we ain't too busy. Huh? Hey, listen, if we ain't got time for God, and we ain't got time for godly things, if we ain't got time for God's house, then we're, hey, listen, you're too busy. Amen. It's time for you to drop back, praise God. Say, listen, what? You know what, devil? I ain't going there anymore. Yeah, I'm going to regroup, praise God. I'm going to prioritize, glory to God, where I can be with God when I need to be with God. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. Praise God, I'm telling you the truth. If we're going to be peculiar, praise like Paul, we're going to have to take, what if Paul said, "Well, you know, I'd like to go up there, the Holy Ghost, to Macedonia and help those folks out, but you know, I'm kind of comfortable here. We're kind of in a meeting right here. Things is going good right here. So praise God, I think I'll just stay here." Paul didn't do that. Praise God. He said, "Boys, get up, gather things up. There's a door open. Glory be to God. Let's go." Amen. Praise God. He hit the trail doing things for the Lord. Amen. But if we ain't very careful, we'll get caught up. We'll get bogged down. We'll say, "Well, you know, we just don't have time for the Lord." You know, that going to meeting, praise God, it requires such a sacrifice. I have to sacrifice all these things in order to go to meeting. Oh my goodness, I'd have to give up. I'll have to do things today. I won't get to watch General Hospital. Glory to God. Amen. I'll have to get the dishes done, the clothes washed during the day, so I won't be able to watch General Hospital. I won't be able to hold the home that evening. And you know my soul preacher comes on Tuesday night. You say, "Preacher, you're being ridiculous." I tell you what, there's probably some folks that won't come to a revival because of something on a show that they like to watch, and they won't miss it. God help us. We need to be a little peculiar. Amen. We need to put aside some things, praise God, for the cause of Christ. Amen. Praise God. We need to be willing. What did you say? We need to be willing to give some things up. Amen. We need to be able to be led into a different type of life. Amen. I wonder what would happen if we said, "You know what? Yeah, I'm going to just forget all this stuff. And I'm just going to focus on God and the things of God for 1 month. Listen to me. For 1 month, I'm just going to focus on things of God, to God's house and God's people and the Bible and the Word of God for 1 month." I wonder what happened. You say, "Preacher, I wouldn't get nothing done. My laundry wouldn't get done. I wouldn't have no money. I wouldn't have this. Hey, listen." He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." He said, "Everything else, all these other things, I'll give unto thee." Amen. You know why we struggle so much? Because we struggle to have and we have not. Because we ask amiss to consume it upon our own lust. Amen? We want everything for us. But you know what's wrong with most of us? We wouldn't offer to give nothing to nobody else. Amen? We wouldn't take time. We ain't got time for nobody. Hey, I'm the important one here. Huh? Amen? That narcissism where it says, "I'm the important. It's about me. God, you looking over me. I need some help here, Lord." Huh? But praise God, when we begin to see that God, amen, when we begin to be a little bit peculiar, we begin to realize, hey, somebody besides us. We're not afraid to be a little bit different. We're not afraid to go in a different direction. Amen. We're not afraid to give up the world and worldliness. Amen. Amen. We're not afraid to. Because we know that God has bigger and better things. Worldliness, amen, the world and worldliness And we ain't afraid, praise God, to give up our worldly associations either. Amen? We're not, did you hear me? We're not afraid to give up our worldly associations. See, that's what's got a hold of a lot of us. These worldly associations. We're associated with so much of the world and we've become so accustomed to it that it's become part of us. In order to be a peculiar people, we've got to break through it, free of that thing, praise God, to where it don't have us no more. Amen. We have to cut their ties. We have to break loose. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you mean we can't do? You can do whatever you want to do, praise God, as long as you don't let it have a hold of you. Amen. As long as you prioritize with God way up here and it way down here. Amen. When you begin to do that, praise God, the world will look at you and say, boy, I said, he's a little bit peculiar. I can't believe he'd pull off the lake on Saturday evening at 8:30, praise God, and head to the house of God. Don't he know the fish will be biting in the morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. They used to make fun of me and Teresa. They'd say, well, you know, come Friday, that's Saturday evening, praise God. We'd take off. Amen. And if the fish was really biting good, Brother Jeff, we'd go out night fishing, and I'd stay over till Saturday. But you know what happened? I mean, till Sunday. You know what happened? Come bright and early Sunday morning. We'd wrestle them children out of that bed, roll them up in a blanket, throw them in the truck, amen, and we'd head up the road. Get ready to get to the house of God, amen. Why? Because we had priorities. Amen. People would say, hey, look, you know what? That fellow's peculiar. Amen. But you know what? Those folks knew where we stood. Amen. Those are the folks that call you on the phone and say, hey, I'm such and such from down at the lake. Will you please help me pray? Mama's in the hospital. Dad's in the hospital. Will you pray? Amen. Why? Because you're peculiar. They could see the peculiarity in you. You're a little bit different. They ain't nothing. I don't say they ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. The world may say, boy, you need to just fit in. No, you don't. You need to be a little bit peculiar, praise God. We begin to get rid of those worldly associations. We'll be convicted. We'll get rid of that old sinfulness that we live in. That stuff that so easily besets us. Amen. Breaks that relationship with the Holy Ghost of God. That keeps us from being just a little bit peculiar. Amen. We begin to break loose. So what we've got to do is ask ourselves, do we really want the Spirit of God? Do we really want Holy Ghost revival in our lives? We got to ask ourselves that question. And I know what people say, well, preacher, I'd like to have the Spirit of God. I'd like to have a spirit of revival all the time. But is the Holy Ghost of God going to expect me to live a different life? Can't I have the Spirit of God? Can't I be a spirit of revival? Amen. And still do what I want to do? You know, live my own life? The answer is, irrequivocally, no. You can't live for yourself, praise God, and live for God. See, what's wrong with America today? What's wrong in our churches today is we try to live for ourselves, praise God, when we need to be trying to live for God. One of these days, Brother Bill, in just a little while, this thing's all going to be gone. I was talking to your brother about that today. I said, you know what? All this stuff is temporal. He was talking about losing his foot and getting around without one leg and another foot gone. He's talking about getting that another artificial leg. Bless his heart, he had a pretty good one. And you know how the VA is. It wasn't good enough, so they decided they was going to make him one a little better. So they took his one that was pretty good, and they destroyed it to make him one better that he can't walk on. God help. But I told him that. I said, you know what? One of these days, praise God, we're going to get rid of all that mess. And we'll go on, praise God. We just keep our trust. We ain't got it in here. We ain't got our faith here. Praise our faith in the Lord. And one of these days, praise God, we'll leave all this behind us and go be with Him. We'll have no need for that stuff. We'll have no need for this stuff here. Praise God. I told you a while back, glory be God, one of these nights, praise God, I'll be preaching the Holy Ghost. And praise God, the rapture will take place and you'll look up here. Amen. Well, I hope you don't look here. I hope you go with me. Amen. Some of you is lost. You may look up here and there'll be a pair of shoes and some socks and some breeches and a shirt and an old artificial knee joint. And there'll be a pair of glasses. I ain't going to need them either, praise God. And Pastor Jeff will be gone. Amen. Praise God. How do you know? Because I'm a little peculiar. Amen. My Lord. I love Him. I believe Him. I've got faith in Him. I know what He wants to do with me. Can you live and have the Spirit of God? Can you live and have a spirit revival? Amen. And live any way you want to? God forbid. We can't do it. We need to decide, praise God. Listen to me, youngins, and I'm done. We need to decide who we're going to serve. Whether we're going to serve this old world in the flesh, praise God, or we're going to live for Jesus. It makes all the difference because when you nail it down, not in your head, but in your heart, you say, you know what? No, come sink or swim, praise God, I'm going to stay with Jesus. I'm going to stay with the Lord. I'm going to stay with the things of God. When you settle that in your mind, out of your mind into your heart, praise God, the devil has a time with that. Amen. When you finally settle it in your heart, praise God. So Paul tells them here, he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said to be transforming of the, we need to transform in of the mind. He said, transform by the renewing of your minds. Our minds need to start thinking differently. Amen. Our minds need to forget about all this temporal stuff, and we need to start thinking on the eternal stuff. That's what's going to matter. Amen. I was talking to somebody the other day. I had a student and talking about how they struggle. I won't say, praise God. I told her, I said, just encourage them to do the best they can with the help of the Lord. Amen. And if they do the best they can with the help of the Lord, it'll be good enough for Him. Amen. The school system, me and you may not like it, praise God, but it'll be good enough for God. Amen. By the renewing of your mind, taking those things. Praise God. So he says, Paul says, be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. So what we have here is being filled with the Spirit. If we're not being filled with it, that means to be being filled. The Spirit of God being real in our life. And he said, if the Spirit of God is not becoming real in your life, he said, then you're in disobedience to God. And let me just say this, Brother Dean, that disobedience to God's command to be filled with the Spirit is no different than telling you not to be a drunkard, not to be a drug addict or a whoremonger or an adulterer. Amen, that sin is sin. And when God says, praise God, that you need to be filled with His Spirit, He said we need to be peculiar, we need to be spiritual people, praise God, and forget about what the world says. Amen. Just forget about it. It don't matter. The world's going to say what they want to anyway. But praise God, He said, if you just start acting a little peculiar, say, God, let me be just a little different, just a little bit peculiar. Guess what? God will make you a little bit different. God will make you just a little bit peculiar. Amen. And you know what will happen? Praise God, we'll get beyond ourselves and people will start seeing Christ in us and realize that He is that hope of glory. Amen. We've all got loved ones. We got children, grandchildren, mamas and daddies. We got people that's lost and undone without God. Amen. And the only way they're going to get right is if we start being peculiar. Amen. Me and you need to be peculiar in these last days. Paul says, hey, Festus said, man, you're crazy. He said, no, I'm just a little peculiar. He said, I ain't backing out from it. Praise God. He said, I'm not ashamed of being a little peculiar. Praise God. He said, what I'm doing, he said, I'm standing upon what I know. Amen. It may make me a little peculiar. I may act just a little bit odd. But praise God, that's all right. Amen. It don't bother Him a bit when I act a little odd. It don't bother God a bit, Brother David, when we act a little bit peculiar. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother David got up here the other night, got to preaching, got to weeping and the crying. Glory to God. Amen. People say, that's crazy. That's acting from crazy. He's mad. He's crazy. So, no, he's just a little peculiar. Amen. You know what I said? Glory to God. That's my brother. Amen. Praise God. I resemble that brother. Amen. But he said we need to just be a little bit peculiar. Praise the Lord. Are you a little bit peculiar tonight? Amen. We ought to be. We need to be just a little bit peculiar.